Welcome into the Week 13 Mountain West Connection Podcast football recap. Final regular season show of the year. Sad face, because it is. MWCConnection.com. You know the other stuff. Mountain West Connection, Facebook, Twitter, MWC Connection. Jeremy Moss, hang out with Chris Hondris, who's back in Southern California.
Yep.
How was your trip? How was your long drive, kind of, right?
It's fine. You know, thank goodness for internet radio.
Wasn't there a free trial on XM or Sirius this weekend as well? Thanksgiving week?
Forget XM or Sirius. I had TuneIn Radio
up on the
whole time, and I got pretty much every single college football game to my disposal. Almost.
I didn't know TuneIn had that. I guess your car is fancy that you can do that, right?
No. I had it on my phone, and I plugged in my phone to my speaker.
Oh, even better. I just saw a lot of commercials about the free trial for SiriusXM on your Thanksgiving trip, driving around. Tune into that. So now TuneIn's excellent resource as well. So you get to hear all the games during the day. So like I said, this is our last regular season show, which is unfortunate. But let's get to the game. We'll start with games because we don't want to make this too long. We're not going to go here's the flow for the show today, as we say. That sounded weird, but sort of, yeah. We're going to go through every game as normal, probably not do as much detail because a lot of teams' season is over. We'll go through some news and notes about a couple of teams, talk about maybe the title game a tiny bit, and kind of me and Chris will kind of do some postseason awards kind of because the official ones are coming out Tuesday. And since we don't have a vote for some reason, maybe we should talk to Javin when you're in San Diego, ask him about that, Chris. Is that a good idea? Say, hey, okay, Give us some voting privileges or something. But whatever, we'll see how it goes. But that's kind of the show for this afternoon. We're actually, if you're hearing this, it might be Sunday afternoon. So you're welcome, folks. If you're heading back home somewhere Sunday traveling, you can get this quick. So
we're actually early today.
We are. We are correct. Yes, we are. 2:22 Mountain Time at this moment for me. So it's also nice. I don't like staying up as late. So let's get going here. First game. Let me ask you this. Before we talk about this game, I talked about the recap because you were traveling, so it was me going solo. So if you enjoyed the show, I appreciate it. If not, well, you listened anyways, you got your download, right? Maybe. Yeah, exactly. Was this just a simple – I think we discussed the second of last week that Boise State could have their linebackers actually play their normal position against the regular offense?
Yes, because look what happened. Tyler Irvin got held to 52 yards.
52 yards, and he's possibly the best running back in the conference. Best player in the conference almost.
Yeah.
And it's 40-23. And I, not jokingly, but if they play Air Force New Mexico, if you want to put any money on it, don't take Boise State. I don't care. You know what I mean? I'm just saying they've lost 3 of 4 against those two teams and nearly 4 in a row. So.
And it was something like we were talking, you and I were talking about this on Friday.
Maybe that was it. Maybe we were chatting by ourselves and doing it, not on the show.
No, it wasn't on the show because I wasn't on the show last week.
That's right.
But we were talking about this on Friday of was it just, in terms of adjustments, was it just as simple as covering assignments, individual positions, rather than the ball?
Yeah, because that's what you do in this offense. Like whenever you play Navy, Air Force, I know a guy who played nose tackle, but he played Air Force all the time. He said it was the worst week ever because – all you would do was fullback dive, every time to attack the fullback dive. The one time he decides to, heck, they're doing an off-tackle play, I'll kind of go to that side. He gets beat for 20 yards up the middle for a fullback dive. The one time he doesn't cover it.
So, and back to this. And San Jose State had a good start. I mean, it was 10-9 Spartans at halftime.
Austin Lopez, make your field goals.
But you kind of had the feeling, even though the Boise started slow, they kind of had this in hand. Ripien, not exactly as efficient as he's been the rest of the season. Still kind of, I think the last 2 weeks kind of gave him, you know, jitters, even though he did fantastically in the New Mexico game. Just getting back, but Jeremy McNichols back to just really attacking everybody. Thomas Spurbeck held for very limited yardage.
It was all McNichols, 3 touchdowns, 88-yard run. That was the breakaway. The third quarter was still back and forth. McNichols got the short pass from Ripon to go up 16-10.
Can we talk about Kenny Potter real quick?
What about Kenny Potter?
how awesome Kenny Potter is and how he's a sophomore this year, right?
I'll look it up. You keep going with it.
No, I'm sorry. He's a junior. Kenny Potter is going to be possibly one of the top quarterbacks returning next year. The two quarterbacks that you saw play today are going to be the two top quarterbacks or preseason quarterbacks next year to look out for.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Kenny Potter, ever since he's taken over for, was it Tyler Gray or Joe Gray?
Yeah.
Has just been absolutely fantastic. Easily one of the best quarterbacks in the Mountain West. And if you doubt that, look at the quarterback ESPN quarterback rating. He ranks third in the conference behind Kent Myers and Cameron Kaufman.
Yeah, he had two interceptions, but he can run a little bit too. He had 46 on the ground, so he's more of a thrower, but he does just enough to run the ball. Is Blake Decker a senior as well?
Blake Decker is a senior.
These two guys, you got Kent Myers, Utah State, will be one of the top ones coming back. So there's the quarterback is finally next year. We're not going to go too ahead of ourselves, but it's going to be it's finally recovered from losing David Fells, Derek Carr, all those type of guys. Chucky Keaton, he's been around still, but you know what I mean? They're finally getting back to that level. So, but this game, I think the difference really was that fourth quarter, Boise just, it's kind of like this reminds me of the UNLV game a little bit. San Jose State was hanging around the whole game, and then Boise decides, like, screw this, let's take over, and look what they did in the fourth quarter.
But San Jose State, as pretty much not making a bowl game, as you guys think,
could still make a bowl.
In terms of APR scores,
they're high.
In terms of APR scores, they are sitting third behind Nebraska and Kansas State in terms of APR scores.
So it comes down to Kansas State, San Jose State, because Nebraska, if they get a bowl bid in and if they accept it, they're going.
As it stands next week, because Nick Lewis of Underdog Dynasty and I actually wrote this article in the middle of the day yesterday.
It's on our site as well if you want to check it out too.
Yes. As it stands, okay. There are three teams who are 5-6 right now who can all potentially go 6-6 and basically knock everything out.
Is Army one of those?
State, huh?
Is Army one of those teams?
No. Kansas State, IU won yesterday, so they're 6-6.
Okay.
Kansas State, Georgia State, and South Alabama. If these three teams win, you still have two fewer 6-6 bowl teams. So you still need two 5-7 teams. Oh. Nebraska and Missouri are your bowl teams. Okay.
Oh, I thought it was two after this weekend that they needed. They need five at the moment to get 6-6.
It's 5-7.
No, but I knew, but I thought after yesterday, maybe I should have read that article more closely. I thought after yesterday there were only two spots open for 5-7 teams.
No. 75 teams are bowl eligible. There's basically 78 or 80 slots. There's 80 slots.
82 slots.
80 slots.
I thought the Arizona Bowl gave it. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So, Kansas State, Georgia State, South Alabama, if they all win, still Nebraska and Missouri will go as 5-7 teams. Kansas State wins and either Georgia State or South Alabama, it'll be Nebraska, San Jose State, Missouri, and Minnesota. And then everybody – and then there's all those scenarios, right? So, basically – San Jose State wants either all three teams of those to lose or two of those teams. So either all teams lose, one team wins, or two of those three wins.
They should be in a bowl game. We're also assuming those teams who are 5-7 want to go to a bowl game.
Yes, we're assuming that, and we're also assuming that the NCAA is going to stick to its guns and say APR scores.
Sure, but I know, but you could still say no to a bowl game because – they have the potential to go 5-8.
Yeah.
I'm saying would Nebraska, while they know even if they're down here with new head coach there, Mike Riley in town, they'll travel. Fans will want to go see more football just because that's the game in town, Nebraska. But would Nebraska want to suffer the embarrassment of having a losing record in a bowl game? And then maybe what if they lose and go 5-8 and say went to a bowl game, went to the Micron PC Trucker Bowl, whatever the old Boise, whatever, you know what I mean, just kind of the toilet bowl essentially to go to 5-8 playing some.
But it comes back to the very original point. San Jose State is not out of it until they're out of it.
And they'll take it, I think.
All the bowl slots are filled up.
And I think they would take it.
Correct? And right now they're sitting very pretty of getting a bowl game.
Mm-hmm. Also, one quick thing, too. Their AD came out and said Ron Carragher is back next year, which is not too much of a shock. So he's going to be back next next year. So if there's any hope of Spartan fans wanting a new head coach, sorry, that's not going to happen. He's going to be around, which they've improved, which is fine, which is good. I think he's finally figuring stuff out there at the higher level. And he's got some talent. Like you said, if you have Kenneth Potter coming back, I should look this up. Is Irvin, is he coming back next year as well? Or is he done?
I believe he's a senior.
I should look this stuff up. As I told right before the show, Flash is crushing my computer at the moment and beating me. I hate it.
All right, finals.
Anything else to add on this game, really? Boise looks to be themselves, and not joking, it really is that they're playing them. They need to learn how to play against Air Force and New Mexico since they'll be playing them every year. They should.
Yeah, pretty much.
At this point, Marcel Yates needs to figure it out. And next year, we know both teams are good. New Mexico and Air Force are good teams. But the way they were being manhandled and look silly at times, that needs to change. Because we know.
And let's not forget, they still both lost those games by under a touchdown or a touchdown score. So
true.
They were in it to the very end. They were in it to the very end. Mm-hmm. Just they got too far behind to begin with.
Yeah. And then it goes back to last year as well. The Air Force game last year, misnomer a little bit, all the turnovers, but still. But New Mexico last year, they ran the ball like crazy. They'll get the yards, but they're giving up. It was just a big plays that was the issue. More so last year than this year, but they just couldn't.
All right, we're done with this. We're done with this.
Stop it. I know. I'm just saying. They need to figure it out next year going forward. So should we talk about your Rebels next?
Yes. This sucked.
They got Blake Decker back. What happened?
They can't.
Brian Hill happened?
Their defense couldn't stop anybody?
Yeah, Brian Hill had 232 rushing yards, owns the Wyoming single-season rushing record. So congrats to him. But they did what I thought they would do. Decker threw the ball well, Devontae Boyd, but Brian Hill, too many points of defense. Defense is bad. You defended their defense for a while, but I fell for the trap with you. Their defense isn't very good, the Rebels.
No, and it doesn't help when you have Penny Vea who was out yesterday?
Yeah, that doesn't help and Cameron Kaufman, one of the better QBs in the conference, he can sling it as well, and that doesn't help either because but if
big plays killed the Rebels yesterday, just like usual.
Well, the game winner, 64-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah.
That, and 72-yard Brian Hill run.
Rebels had them on third and long a few times. Yeah. Wyoming was 5-for-14 on third downs, but I can guarantee those five plays were big plays. 2-for-2 on fourth down. I mean, stop them. You got to stop them.
Yeah, that's a problem. Like it was just their offense was fine in this game. It was the defense that was the issue. Offense did pretty well. It did 28 points. You should win. Playing Wyoming, people know at this point the year's over. Wyoming gets this win. They mentioned this. They want to build for next year, which is great. They get Brian Hill back. They have a new quarterback. So they probably Nate Smith, I believe, he'll be the guy next year if there's some sort of competition. But their offense was vastly underrated this year. It was their defense that was just awful. And they did just enough against UNLV.
It really was. They really did literally just enough to win this game. They made that fourth down stop that basically ended the game. Otherwise, this game would probably have gone into overtime.
Yeah, especially in this fourth quarter. If you're able to watch this game, I know there's issues with the stream and the audio, but if you're able to tune into that fourth quarter, man, you got quite a treat, man. 14 or what? 4 touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that was a underrated game to watch, but. Here's the thing. UNLV's 3-9. We're not gonna spend a ton. Do you think this season was an success with Tony Sanchez for the Rebels?
Was it a successful season?
Yeah. What do you think? Yes or no?
Yes.
Even with 3 wins.
Yes, because that 3 wins, it could have easily been 6 wins.
They got the cannon too, so that's a big deal as well.
And they got the cannon. That I think, all in all considered, this was a very successful season for the Rebels. And I know we were preseason. I was listening back to the preseason show. I think I was talking about the Rebels being 3-9 or 4-8. So I was actually pretty close. Mm-hmm. But they – think about it. If they had Blake Decker for Fresno State and for San Jose State, you would have been talking probably 5-6, 6-6. And then it just the tiny things. They were in that – they were in that Northern Illinois game at the very beginning of the season to the very end.
Mm-hmm, till late, you know, the game.
Only game that they truly got blown out was San Diego State last week.
Yeah, bro.
I think all in all.
Yeah, I guess Michigan, UCLA were big wins, but I don't think they were crushed like the San Diego State game.
They didn't cover their spreads, no.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, was it 28-0 versus Michigan or something like that?
28-7. They were they scored the only 7 points for like 5 games for
yeah. They weren't blown. They were beat. They lost handily, but like yeah, it wasn't a blowout or crushing loss like the Aztec loss.
So I think this sets a good standard for next year, and I think an all in all season, it was a good season for the Rebels.
Yeah, with the coach, because he brought in the great guys that come with him, assistant coaches from Colorado, Nebraska to help him out. So plus they get Devontae Boyd back next year. Lexington Thomas, he didn't do that great. He's back next year. Well,
Xavier Campbell.
Yeah, Xavier Campbell showed a big 9 for 87. And I'm trying to see what Boyd, I believe he's a sophomore. Yeah, he's a sophomore, so he's back.
He's only a sophomore this year.
Yeah, because I remember last year him and Devontae.
Kendall Keys.
Kendall Keys, yeah. It's just a defense. They need a defense to get a little bit better. Offense, find a new QB, which will be a little bit tough. If it's Poundek, he has experience. So we'll see how it goes. We'll get to kind of players. Brian Hill again, geez, just crushing it. It's 232 yards. They get their win. It's 2-10. Whatever, it was a down year. They were not very good. But we'll move on to the next game. We'll get to other stuff later on. Oh, Utah State and BYU. Curse you. This was a how much is
BYU, if you guys were actually in the Mountain West, you'd probably be going to a Group of Five bowl right now.
Instead, they're taking they're probably heading to, they might be going to Las Vegas. Might be.
Ew.
I'm just saying, they might be playing like Washington State or something over the,
which is funny because that would screw out your San Diego State fans. Did you freeze? No, it looks like he left for a moment. So I didn't watch too much of this game. What I did see, though, man, how do you – it was – wow, it was quite interesting. This game pretty much was all Tanner Mangum and good field position for BYU. I mean, you can't really say too much out of that, outside of the fact that Utah State couldn't get it done in the red zone, right?
They could not. I watched all this game, 90% of the game.
Good, you can continue talking.
Yeah, I'll continue talking because I know you're driving into this. I didn't see it till late, so. So I wasn't around the thread. But here's the thing. Man, Utah State on defense. Well, let me rephrase that. BYU on offense, sorry. There were some balls. I don't know how any BYU player came down with them. There were tight coverage, good passing, catching like a myriad of catches that were unstoppable, uncatchable, but somehow come down with it. It was just time after time they were getting big plays. But here's the thing. Utah State at one point was up 21-10 in this game. And that included missing 2 field goals. And then here's the funny thing. I don't know what you saw, but there's a fake field goal that led to a TD. The first field goal is just off. Actually, there's 3 total missed field goals in this game. One was returned for a touchdown, which is ridiculous. But there's a lot of miscues in this game. They missed the 2 field goals. And I'm thinking, like, you never call for a fake field goal. I'm like, it's rare to happen. I'm just kind of chatting about thinking about the game. Like, okay, it's your 3rd field goal. We know the Aggies kicker is not that great. And this is about like a 40 yarder. It's like 20 degrees. I'm thinking, this would be an interesting spot to fake. Perfectly ran fake by DJ Nelson. They get a touchdown. That put them up 21-10. But this game, like, here's the issue. Chucky Keaton on one play was scrambling, trying to find the guy in 3rd down. The ball just fell out of his hands. scoop and score for BYU. A blocked field goal returned for a touchdown. There were like you said before, they got close. They missed three total field goals. One was blocked, one for the return. But they once they got close, the running game was non-existent. Early in the game, Trey King was making plays. Well, here's the thing, too. Hunter Sharp and guys were missing balls left and right. They couldn't hold on to the ball on certain passes. So there's one ball. I don't recall if Utah State scored, but it was like a swing pass. Not even a swing pass, kind of just a short pass to like a – yeah, I guess kind of a swing pass. Receivers up 2 yards down the field. Plenty of room, drops the ball. Could have had a touchdown or got very extremely close. A lot of drop passes. And once BYU realized that, hey, Utah State can't run the ball very well, when it came to 3rd and 8, make Chucky throw. He made the plays in the first half, but the second half was – that's kind of where it turned the tables. And the 21-point spring, because that Chucky touchdown that was a fumble recovery was with 2 seconds left in the first half. And it was just 21 straight points for BYU, up 31-21. The game was pretty much over from there. The blocked field goal, return for touchdown. There's just so many mistakes in this game for Utah State. Not holding onto the ball, not converting field goals, and 2 non-offensive touchdowns. You can't win that way against a BYU team who's pretty good.
Yeah, not at all.
So yeah, that's all thoughts in the game. They played all right, but they're just the thing too. The Trekkie Keaton, if you watch the play again, he's just running around, probably trying to do too much. He's at the half. He's like 40 yards away. It's like the thing was, it wasn't like he knocked the ball away. He did a turner, like he tried to redirect. Like he's running, you know how he does. He runs one way, changes directions. The ball literally just popped out of his hand. It's like, and then nobody's there, and they score with no time left. Because he had, outside of that, that was the only turnover of the game, I believe, was that fumble for a touchdown. That was it. And that's all it was. Yeah, they just couldn't. Yeah, the running game. Here's the thing. They ran for 206 yards, and Chucky had a 52-yarder, but running any 3rd and 3, 3rd and 2, nothing. It was all pass all the time. They could not run the ball at all. And so momentum got them, and the wagon wheel goes back to BYU. And Utah State sitting at 6-6 going to a bowl game. But, yeah, but they couldn't stop the passing game, which is a shocker because their defense secondary is usually pretty good.
All right, so next game.
Moving on. Yes, that's enough. I'm just frustrated how this game went. Utah State had the game. Utah State had the game, and they let it get out of their hands. They had
Fresno State.
No, even literally. Utah State. They're up 21-10. They missed 3 field goals. They should have won. Come on.
You guys lost 51-28, so no, you didn't have the game.
They okay. Let me rephrase it. The game was in hand, and they let BYU just run back into it. Is that better to say?
Yes.
Okay.
How about you want to talk about a game that was in hand?
Oh, Fresno. Oh man. Sorry, Matt.
How? No wonder. You know what? It's a good thing that Dave Schramm is gone.
Oh yeah, they're both OCs are gone. David Tooth or Toth, whatever. He's gonna be reassigned. But yeah, Dave Schramm, adios.
Oh my goodness, this was like you were up 24-14 at halftime.
Yeah,
there's no reason. No reason for Fresno State to have lost this game.
Yet they did.
Except you have the talent. You have the talent to beat Colorado State. But you know what Mike Bobo did, right?
Run the ball?
He ran the dang ball.
Hey, Bobo might be running to Georgia now, so better watch out for that.
Oh, that'd be great.
Just saying.
Oh, now that Richt is gone?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Can we say anything else about this game? Just I mean, Kelton Anderson is your quarterback of the future, Fresno State fans.
You know what this is? No, it's actually Chase and Virgil. But this is payback for them somehow beating UNLV in that rainstorm, right?
This has gotta be.
That's why I think that makes sense, right?
Oh my goodness. I guess, yeah.
Do you think it's Kelton Anderson? Because I think it's Chase and Virgil will be their starter next year.
I don't know. See, Chase and Virgil didn't even look that good when even before he was injured. at least Keldon Anderson was continuously making improvements throughout the course of the season once he was named the starter.
I didn't see any improvement too much.
I don't know. What else do you say about this game?
Rams made a great comeback. That's what you say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where's that Fresno defense? There's a couple guys who might be in the NFL next year or two. Nothing. On the defensive line, they have a few good guys there. Nothing.
On one hand, I really want to feel bad for Fresno State. I really do, especially since Marquise Waller had a great night. 27 carries, 112 yards. But on the other hand, and also Ajiro Edirane scored a touchdown.
Oh, that's right.
But on the other hand, I mean,
Heisman worthy?
It definitely had a Heisman moment there, yes. But on the other hand, I mean, just everything was just so completely outside of the running game for Fresno yesterday. Everything was just so completely mediocre that, I mean, you had your, even your punt game wasn't even that great. Garrett Swanson, 8 punts for 300 yards. So that's an average of 38, which is great. You know, if you're trying to get inside the 20, except he had no punts inside the 20. So, what else do you say about this game?
Good for you, Colorado State. You didn't get embarrassed by Fresno.
Joe Hansley, 3 punt returns for 2 touchdowns. How's that?
Special teams player of the year, won it on the last week of the season.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, he's giving Carlos Wiggins a run for his money.
Oh, speaking of that, Wiggins, I saw an in-person visual Carlos Wiggins offensive pass catch.
Yeah.
He caught the ball offensively. We'll get to that game. But, yeah, he actually caught the ball on offense.
It's crazy. This comes back to your mediocreness. Okay, and just how bad Fresno State special teams was. So, Joe Hansley returns 3 punts for 136 yards, 2 touchdowns, right?
Yep.
Not only that, Kevin Nutt Jr. returned a 96-yard kick, and this was the first touchdown for Colorado State of the game. 96 yard touchdown.
Hey, special teams, step it up.
Special teams gave up 3 touchdowns. I mean, that's more than bad. That's abysmal.
Some teams don't give up that many in a season.
And Joe Hansley had an additional touchdown on receptions.
So is he going to be special teams player of the week, I'm assuming, on Monday?
He's got to be named. Who else would you name this week?
I don't know. He's at 2 kick returns. The other guy? But he only had 1.
Yeah.
It's Hansley. Let's move on. Next game. That's enough. That was a beatdown. And, yeah, what do you got? What's next?
The most fun game of the week. New Mexico Air Force.
Oh, Lobos, you had a chance. You blew it versus Colorado State.
My goodness.
We could have had the Rocky Long Bowl.
You want to talk about how bitter this game would be?
In Albuquerque, too?
No. It would have been in San Diego, no matter what. But think about, you weren't with me 2 years ago at the Mountain West Championship game between San Diego State and New Mexico.
For basketball, no, it was not.
No, that was, I mean, it's a nasty rivalry already between those two teams. Can you imagine spilling it over into football? This would have been the greatest championship game ever.
Ever. It would have been good, and New Mexico showed they're for real, too, with this win last night.
Yeah. It's not just we barely got to 6-6. No, New Mexico is terrifying for the future.
Is it poor taste to say the Unabomber had 4 touchdowns last night?
Yes, it's totally. You're going to hell. And so am I. Oh, my goodness.
To be fair, it goes by Tim, not Timothy.
Yeah, thank God for that. Old Tim McVay, 12 carries, 105 yards, 2 touchdowns, receiving 5 receptions, 150. He had 5 touchdowns last night, not even 4.
Oh, I thought he only – oh, I must have turned it off. He had 5.
He had 5. 5 receptions, 157 yards, 3 touchdowns, 12 carries, 105 yards, 2 touchdowns. This guy, he's got to win Offensive Player of the Week, right?
Yeah, you know, of course. He had – yeah, he had 4 touchdowns going into this game. Presley. What did Presley do?
Presley, 17 carries, 170 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Well, he got shut down the second half, so you score 5 touchdowns, you're in. You're in.
You better be in. Oh, my goodness.
This
yeah,
guy.
It just New Mexico started hot, and yeah, they let Air Force back in, but there was no point where you figured that New Mexico was going to lose this game. Carson Roberts, three interceptions.
Yeah, that was bad. I came to this game and I saw Air Force's comeback when they scored 2 quick touchdowns. But then it was 28-28, I believe. But then New Mexico, like, we're stepping up. We're not losing this game at home.
Yeah, and they scored the same exact way that they scored against Boise State throughout this whole game. Just big plays. Air Force did not wrap up Drell Presley or Tarion Gibson all night.
Here's the long touchdown runs. Presley 57. Presley 75.
Gibson 40. Oh no, that wasn't the touchdown.
Yeah, Richard McCorley 44. And
Lamar Jordan 23.
Huge plays. I don't know, Air Force.
Good luck this week, Air Force. I mean,
yeah, Donald Pumphrey, Chase Price. Yeah, so that goes.
We'll see if Pumphrey is going to be in for the rest of the season. He went down injured yesterday as well.
Oh no, he's going to be back. It's just Max Smith that's probably not planned.
Okay.
But yeah, this game. Ooh, this was a game I wanted to see. It was long. I was expecting to be a 2-hour game, but all the points ended up being the traditional 3.5-hour game. We'll move on to the next game, then we'll talk a little title stuff and here or there just to kind of get going. But next game.
I think the reason why there's less to talk about these games is like, oh, where do you go from here? I mean, it's just waiting for bowl game, or if you're Air Force or San Diego State, it's championship.
Correct. We got 2 games left real quick. San Diego State, Nevada. San Diego State, I was dead on this game. San Diego State would be in control, and Nevada covered because it was 17.5 and a 17-point victory. But the big story, Maxwell Smith went out this game, but is it really, because they don't throw the ball very much?
Yeah, it really didn't hamper San Diego State at all that Maxwell Smith went down. Need to say it, you know, it's once again, when you have Donnell Pumphrey running for 154, Chase Price running for 112, and then Rashad Penny just hurting you in other ways. You know, it's Nevada couldn't stop. I shouldn't say Nevada couldn't stop because Eon Seau was all over the place. But Nevada overall could not stop San Diego State. And really, and on top of that, they hurt themselves. They couldn't get the running game going. Mm-hmm. Tyler Stewart was sacked 4 times for minus 36 yards.
Huge.
You know. And then he had 2 picks.
And the one touchdown, one of the 2 touchdowns was a I need to look at the stat, but it looks like that was an offensive touchdown, never mind. A fumble in the end zone that was Jericho Richardson scored. So I need to look at that. But
that was right before halftime. That was a running play. Don Jackson had gotten the ball, fumbled the ball right before he went into the end zone, and Jericho Richardson recovered the ball in the end zone.
I misheard that. I thought it was for some reason I thought Richardson for his half second was the defensive player. Because then I see underneath it was an 80-play drive. But after that score, they were shut out in the second half. They didn't get anything done. San Diego State's kind of iced it running the ball. And Rocky Long, it's not official, but odds of Maxwell Smith playing next week. He got a left knee injury, had an MRI today. Last night in the post-game press conference, Rocky Long seems highly unlikely. Didn't 100% rule him out, but he's not playing this week. And
yeah, but once again,
does it matter?
Not needed. San Diego State passing was 9 for 12 yesterday. Maxwell Smith was 3 for 3. Christian Chapman was 6 for 9.
I mean, 44 yards
for a total of 88 yards between the two.
Yeah,
San Diego State doesn't need to pass. They're hard nose running, which is not option ball.
Correct. The only concern would be Chapman hasn't played much this year. Would not that he's going to throw, but composure wise, that type of thing. Because like, oh, I'm getting a start, I'm going to play. Luckily, he played a half of this game against a pretty good Nevada team. Air Force defense is probably a little bit better than Nevada, I would say. They don't have a player like Ian Sayal. Alex Hansen's a good player. Steelhammer won't be in the backfield. He'll be defending the four passes that come in the play. But that's the only concern I'd really have, is because he hasn't played a ton this year to get comfortable with the type of offense they run. Even though it's fairly basic, it's not an option. There's no too much pitching, not any zone read. It's just you got the 5'9", 185 pump free going up the middle. So a basic handoff. So that's the only concern I have. But they got the win. They're hosting. Good for them. And we'll see how it goes next week. One final game.
Yay!
Hawaii taking on University of Louisiana Monroe. Two teams who are having new head coaches next year. And Hawaii got the victory. They finished 2-10. Congratulations, Rainbow Warriors.
Hey, you want to know why everybody loves Robert Kakaula?
It's obvious, but go give us another reason.
So at one point last night, this possibly was the greatest quote. I mean, he had a lot of great quotes last night, but it was his color announcer yesterday. I forget what the color announcer's name was. He's like, he says the culture is just so different down there in Louisiana. I'm not even sure they're part of the United States. And Kekulu is like, I want to play with the alligators. No, I want to see the alligators. Oh my gosh.
I didn't stay up to watch much of this game.
I've got to like pull up. I made a full like. I was tweeting out Kekaula quotes.
We should do like a YouTube, find a supercut and do something of all of his great stuff he says.
Oh yeah. Three words. Are you kidding me? Oh wait, that's four words. he is the greatest. He is the greatest of all time. ESPN needs to hire him for the bowls this year.
The Hawaii Bowl?
Yeah.
No, what they should do, I think we discussed this last year. You know they have the mega feed for the title game? Where they do like ESPN, ESPNU, they do the X's and O's. Every ESPN channel imaginable has different angles or different commentators or different type of views. You got to find it. There's got to be room for him, right? Stick him on ESPN Classic. I don't care. Stick him somewhere. But they got the win. About this game, they were big. They almost blew this game too, unfortunately. They're up 20.
And that comes back to everybody. I think those of us college football super fanatics were watching this game secretly hoping that it would be taken into overtime just because we could just have the regular season just a little bit longer.
Well, look how the first game of the season, it was a 1 a.m. Eastern kick, which is later than normal in Hawaii. I think it ended when they played Colorado. Ended what, 5 a.m. Eastern, just about?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. And then, the game ended. Louisiana Monroe made a great comeback. They're up 20. Hawaii's up 28-10. It's 28-20. They score a touchdown, but did you see the drive chart for that last touchdown?
No.
Three plays, minus 17 yards. 0 yard fumble recovery, fumble return for a touchdown.
Oh, my goodness.
I want to see if – oh, wow. I want to exactly see what happened here because, again, I didn't stay up. Do you recall what the last play was exactly?
Of the game?
Yeah, fumble touchdown.
Yeah, that was – what's that?
How did they go minus 17 yards and get a fumble touchdown? Was this offensive?
You're talking about Louisiana Monroe, yeah.
Yeah. What happened there?
It was a sack. Let's see. So, like, the first two were running plays, and then the third play, Keika Woolsey was dropping back to pass,
Oh, defensive touchdown. Gotcha.
Just gets the ball, and the ball gets just stripped out of his hands, and it's a scoop and score.
Okay, the way ESPN makes it sounds here, like the Jericho Richardson play, where they drove down the field. This, I'm like, -3 plays, -17, fumble touchdown. Okay.
No. Yeah.
Oh, man. Then they stopped the 2-point conversion.
Yes.
So, okay, they're 3-10. Good for Hawaii. So we got their new head coach, Nick Rolovich. So what do you think? Let's talk about that for a second really quick. We're going to not go too much more here, but was that the best possible hire they could have made, you think?
I didn't get to write the piece this week, but I was thinking about Timmy Chang as well. But I think this is probably the best possible hire for the price right now until Wyoming starts building something and they can afford a little bit more.
Did they say how much? I don't think they mentioned the contract, have they?
No, but just remember, I, while you and I think this is a good hire, remember that Rolovich was on Greg McCracken's staff that got just completely canned back in 2011.
True. And part of it, too, he also wanted to leave just because to get different experience and to coach somewhere else. Here's the thing. June Jones, I don't think that would have been a good hire. The high school coach guy wouldn't have been a good hire, who, as I mentioned before, did not coach this year, but was a finalist. He coached his last high school coaching year was 2014. He did not coach high school this year. So that, I don't know how he was a finalist. He must have a great agent or something.
Maybe.
And then they had the former Army coach, and then Tulsa co-defensive coordinator. It's like, no, get the Army coach out of here. No DC. Get an offensive coach there in Hawaii. We discussed this yesterday on your drive back to San Diego. They said Timmy Chang. At the time, he was the NCAA leader in all-time passing yards.
Right. That lasted for 1 year, but.
But still, but I'm saying they passed. Look how they won with Timmy Chang, with the McCracken one there, June Jones, and with the Sugar Bowl. They were winning games by passing. And look at I know Mike Leach is a different type of guy, but he has – getting talent at Texas Tech is honestly not that difficult for the amount of players. But getting guys to –
getting talent at Washington State?
Yeah, to Pullman. Yeah. And winning finally – oh, well, they didn't get the Apple Cup, but still. Winning and contending is a different story. It took a while. And Hawaii has talent in town, mostly defensive talent, but run this offense. I think his offense will be a mixture of the pistol and the more – kind of like what New Mexico runs, but more passing involved, if that makes sense. Like those,
that would be
those formations, I would say.
All right. So what do you want to do next?
Let's do season's over really quick. So we got the awards really quick. We're not gonna go through every one, we'll go through a couple here. But let's do like best QB, running back, wide receiver. Is that fair to say? Is that what you want to do?
Sure, and then let's go, and then let's do just defensive player of the year.
Okay, so offense, just so you know real quick, the official ones come out on Tuesday. And I think I touched on this just for a second. Dave Southern from Idaho Statement is kind of chatting on Twitter about who he's voting for and who's available. So the quarterback race, which we know has not been great this year, Cameron Kaufman, who's been one of the – Wyoming's been sneaky good offensively, he's not listed as one of the one of the mentions as quarterback. For first team QB. That seems odd, doesn't it?
Yeah, it seems a little bit odd.
Who would you pick things? I don't know who to pick. I would pick him possibly as quarterback of the year. Would you go Kenny Potter?
I'm going Brent to go Rippon?
Nick Stephen.
I'm gonna go the homer pick. I'm gonna say Brent Rippon.
Here's the thing, like a couple of these guys, I think Rippon could win. He almost 300 yards a game. 17 TDs, 7 touchdowns, but all the top guys have missed games. Like Cameron Kaufman missed a game or two. Blake Decker missed a game or two. Kenny Potter was splitting time. Brett Rippon came in 2 games into the season, 2 plus. Nick Stevens, the only guy that played every single game.
And sorry to say, I just don't think Maxwell Smith attempted enough passes to.
He attempted 200 passes.
Was that the minimum?
I don't know. I'm looking at CFB stats. He was 7th in the conference. Or not 7th, but that's a different stat. But he had 200. Blake Decker, who played in 3 less games, 209 attempts.
Interesting. So Who's your pick?
I want to go Cameron Cotton. Here's the thing. When you miss games, that's the problem I have. The only starters that played all 12 games, Nick Stevens, Tyler Stewart, and Maxwell Smith, and Carson Roberts. And Maxwell Smith came out. You can make a case for Carson Roberts, but he came in halfway for that first game, but he had 9 TDs, 10 picks. And his rushing stats aren't blowing me away to say he's the best quarterback. I don't know. This is very difficult because not everybody played a full season. Who I think should win, I would like Cameron Kaufman. I'm going to go Cameron Kaufman, but he's not going to win the award, obviously, because he's not even listed. But I think he had possibly the best season. Possibly. Yeah. Him and Rippon. Rippon has more yards, but with what Wyoming's doing, it's just hard to say. But who will win? I honestly think somehow it'll be Nick Stevens winning the award, I think. This first
team. That makes sense. He's the only one who hit the 20 touchdown margin.
21 TDs, 12 picks. Didn't throw as many yards. That number's
really high, though.
Yeah, it's going to be him or Rippon. But his yardage-wise, he's 600 less than Rippon overall. Everything else is almost the same percentage, yards attempt. He had more TDs, played in more games, though, but also more picks, played in more games.
Yeah. I think Rippon. I like Rippon to win, and I know that's the homer pick, but, you know, once he was established, if he was starting from game one, what do you think would have happened? Would we be even having this argument right now?
Probably not. Hold on 1 second. Go ahead.
All right, so running back, best running back of the season. Oh, wait, hold on 1 second means that I should be talking. All right, so obviously you have five guys who are essentially the best candidates. And so as you, the listener, should be able to figure out either Brian Hill, Tyler Irvin, Donnell Pumphrey, or Jeremy McNichols. Sorry, four guys. Okay? And the question is, who do you pick? Do you pick McNichols, who has the most touchdowns?
Brian Hill by a mile.
I think Brian Hill wins by a mile, just what he does. The only thing that concerns me about Brian Hill is that he has significantly less touchdowns than everybody else on this team, and this out of this field.
We got two picks here, essentially, we can go with.
Where are you going with? Brian Hill or who?
Well, I'm just saying, yardage-wise, you make a good point. You got touchdowns. If you're going with two guys, it's going to be probably – it'll probably be the pick will be Pumphrey McNichols just because for touchdowns. But, man, I think Tyler Irvin, for what he does overall, I'd go Tyler Irvin just because his receiving abilities – and Donald Pumphrey because the yardage.
I'd go Irvin, Brian Hill. Remember that.
It's tough.
See, Brian Hill had 200 yards more than either Irvin or Pumphrey.
That's a good point. It's hard to. Opposite of QB. Too many good choices in this case.
Yes. Yes. Even Paul Harris has really a good chance for winning this because he's 1,132 yards, 5.7 average, which matches the same 95-yard touchdown. He's only got six touchdowns like Brian Hill. James Butler for Nevada has a good option. I mean, you've got plenty of options, even Martez Waller in there. Even if you wanted to go Chase Price, you could even make an argument for Chase Price.
Jarrell Presley, 11 touchdowns there.
True. Yeah, you do have an argument. No, absolutely you have an argument for Jarrell Presley.
Actually, I would go – I would just want Brian Hill on my team because if he's on any team, he'd have probably 20 touchdowns.
Yeah, I'm saying I'm with you. I think Brian Hill and I think Irvin as a backup.
I'd go Hill. I'd go those two guys. But just because Irvin, because his receiving abilities – but Pumphrey McNichols, if McNichols played 12 games, if he didn't miss a game with a concussion, he probably would have, say, another touchdown and then give him 1,400. Yeah, at least. Yeah, 1,400. Well, 1,350 and 19 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I'd go those two guys. So that's who, yeah, Hill and Irvin for me.
Okay. Top receiver, just pick one.
Yeah, oh, just one?
Just one.
I can tell you it's not going to be Hollywood Higgins, unfortunately.
Unfortunately not.
Got the best nickname. I like Tyler Gentry, but he missed too many games late in the year. Dang it, I'm trying to pull up my stats here. Hunter Sharp's pretty good. I'm trying to pull it up now. My numbers are failing. My clicking ability, but
you're missing
Devontae Boyd. Devontae Boyd, right?
Devontae Boyd. How about Thomas Sperbeck, who we haven't talked about?
Sure. I'm trying to pull up the numbers. My thing it keeps refreshing, but he had 20 catches to get to Mexico.
In terms of yards, just receiving yards in the Mountain West this year. Thomas Sperbeck leads with 1334, Rashard Higgins 933, Devontae Boyd 904, Hunter Sharp 746.
It's Sperbeck by a mile. And I'm not dissing on Rashard Higgins. It's just that last year, he had such an amazing year. Last year, it's no way he's going to duplicate it. New offense, new coach.
I think Devontae Boyd, I think Devontae Boyd had a slightly disappointing season this year. I think he had a lot of drops in this game this year.
He did. And Decker too. Here's the thing: Decker's not that accurate either. If you think about it, remember he true. Is. And if you look at last year, what he did, like compared to last year to this year, I'm trying to pull up what he did because he had 54, 904. He had 10 less catches, but almost had as many yards and two more touchdowns. I think people are expecting like 75, 1,000, and maybe 10 TDs.
Okay, so defensive player of the year.
Oh. Also, real quick, had Hunter Sharp not missed two games, he'd be in the conversation as well.
Probably.
Defensive player of the year, there are so many. What are you valuing more, like sacks or interceptions or?
Anyone.
I don't know. I could see. Ajaro Ederon, he had 9 sacks. He's not going to win it, even though he had a great year. You got Ian Sale, Calvin Munson. Each had 9 sacks.
Calvin Munson also had 86 interception yards. He didn't have the amount. He started hot with interceptions, but then slowed down. I think he only got 3 for the year, and they all came at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, then you got DeMonte Kazee, 7 picks and a touchdown. Darren Thompson, probably not a defensive back guy. Unless you want Kazee with 7 picks. That's I'd probably go Calvin Munson because Kyler Fackrell, while he's very good, he didn't have that great of the year of what people thought, even though he's probably the best NFL prospect or at least one of the top. I'd probably go Calvin Munson. He'd probably make the most sense of what he – getting interceptions and leading that defense. They've won 8 games in a row, and they're outside of this past game. Well, even this game, they only gave up, 14 points. Their defense has been very, very good this year.
But I'm going different.
Yeah, he's pretty good. I don't know. He had 6-15 and a half tackles for a loss, man. I don't know. It's tough. What are you doing?
I'm going with DeMonte Kazee. Not just the 7 picks, but you also have to think that he had 2 forced fumbles and 1 touchdown based off that forced fumble.
And an interception.
Sorry. One touchdown based off the interception.
Oh, okay.
But he forced 2 fumbles within there. 51 tackles. I think it's DeMonte Kazee. So, how much is Rocky Long going to rant if Boise State sweeps the offensive awards?
Wait, you don't want to. Here's one dark horse. Honestly, Ederano could win the award. He has 16 F tackles for a loss as well.
Ooh, that's. Yeah.
And you get Kennedy Tule Masalili, 18 and a half tackles for a loss. Jeez. Defensive lineman has that many TFLs.
Yeah.
I guess everybody's listed as D lineman here, so it's not official D end or not, but
I think DeMonte Kazee wins it.
I think it might be Seau. I'll go Munson because he has interception, so I'll go Calvin Munson. But do you think that's possible. Boise could win those 3 awards. QB, running back, receiver, or at least be on the list. So if we go off really quick, I know we didn't discuss it, but offensive player of the year, overall, Sperbeck, perhaps?
Sperbeck, or I'm going to go Pumphrey here. The problem is Pumphrey missed a couple games.
I was thinking of him, too. Like, he's just so key to that offense. Like, his numbers weren't as mind-boggling last year, but I think you're right. For my pick, the league's pick, Pumphrey's going to be player of the year. He's going to be first-team running back. Just the touchdowns trump everything. It'll probably be, as for the conference picks, it'll probably be Pumphrey and McNichols as the first-team running back.
That's the thing. Without Pumphrey, San Diego State have done as much this year as they did?
Yeah, Chase Price.
But Chase Price is primarily a backup back.
But he had 100.
You think Chase Price and Elijah Penny could have done the same exact things as Donnell Pumphrey, Chase Price?
Close to it. He had 100 less carries and still had 889 yards.
Okay.
All right. So we'll figure out on Tuesday what goes on. We got these. Check out the awards.
Right, I'm going to talk about one more. Bring up one more thing to you.
One more thing. Okay. Go ahead.
I know we're going long. So. More firings happened today. So right now we have
coaching. It's going full force.
5, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. We have 16 FBS position head coaching open. Three spots just got filled up. So there were 18. Three spots just got filled up. Matt Campbell of Toledo got hired away at Iowa State. Justin Fuente, despite the $3 million upgrade, went to Virginia Tech to replace Frank Beamer. Who does anybody from Mount West go anywhere?
I want to say Bob Davey, but I don't think he's there yet. Rocky Long's not going to want to go. He'll retire before he coaches somewhere else. The only logical choice would be Brian Harsin, and I don't think he's going to be going anywhere the way the season ended.
Brian Harsin's not going anywhere just because he's a Boise guy.
Yeah, well,
I'm not saying Chris Peterson's a Boise guy. No, Brian Harsin, born and bred in Boise, he's not going anywhere unless he's fired. I could see him like a Joe Bach type coach.
Yeah, high school, college coach. Yeah.
Here's a name to toss out for you because Mark Richt is out.
Oh yeah, Georgia. That's right.
Bobo for Georgia.
Yeah, the only thing I may not see at that is that they want somebody. Not within that realm, you know what I mean? Like not associated with Mark Richt.
Yeah, I could see that too. Okay,
that's the only one possibility. Like Matt Wells, Utah State didn't have a good enough year for that to happen to move on. Same with Harsin, even if he wasn't, you know what I mean? It's not quite there yet. So that's the only one. No, like Nick Rolovich going to Hawaii. They need a new OC. There'll be some changes there. Go check this out. I'm going to do an article on it, but go to our good friend Rich Kirchman already put some up quickly on this. Go to BSN Denver and find out if that means anything for Mike Bobo. It's a pretty good piece there. We know he played the Georgia quarterback. He was the OC forever there at Georgia. Go read that if you get a chance before I get something up. But that's a good piece to look. But you're right. That's the only coach who would go anywhere.
Here's a question. I know the obvious answer is no and without hesitation. Do you think Tony Sanchez is a one and done? Do you think somehow he gets picked up somewhere else?
No. Not a chance. He won three games, man.
Yeah, but that's one more than the last year.
No, three games. Three games. I don't think – give him a couple years and maybe –
think about this. I'm just going to throw this out there. Houston Nutt spent 1 year at Boise State, was 4-7 that year before going to Arkansas.
Let me say this. There's enough openings where I think there's 15 total that have been opened at some point. Nothing would surprise me, but I don't think he'd be going anywhere. Like, he's only been in Las Vegas forever. He's coached, 1 year in New Mexico? Was it New Mexico State or California JUCO or something like that? Whatever. He's been out west. There's not many West Coast jobs open.
Not yet, at least. And that's something. You could possibly see, I mean.
Because Sonny Dykes is coming back. There's an option he could leave.
You don't know. I hear rumblings. There's nothing official, but I hear that people aren't too happy with Sonny Dykes.
True. I just think I've heard both. I've heard more positive.
If he had lost last night's game, he would have been less safe.
For sure. I think he's good to go, though, to stay.
There are a lot of group of five, or there are a lot of power five positions. I mean, you look at this. Miami, Syracuse, Virginia, Illinois.
Illinois is official. They took the interim tag off.
Who?
Illinois is official. The interim coach is staying on.
Who is it?
I don't know. I don't know. I just saw it earlier today. The interim coach who took over before the season is the new head coach.
Okay. Kyle Flood is out.
Rutgers. But again, look where these jobs are out, man. He's not going to take that type of job. He's no dummy. There's a reason he brought in the coaches he did.
Gary Pinkel, Steve Spurrier. Although I think they're looking there. Steve Spurrier hasn't made, they haven't made anything official, but they're looking at Tom Herman.
Yeah, but they're Bartlett. He's staying. He's not going anywhere. He's staying.
Yeah.
Get back to me when he wins a bowl game or gets to a bowl game before he might get taken somewhere else.
Yeah, but you forget that this is UNLV. I hate to say it, there might be a no possibility of bowl game.
Hey, but wait, they play in the Western Division, man. Anything's possible.
This is true.
So we got one question really quick. So we're about to, I gotta wrap this up. I got somebody buzzing my ear to get out of here. really quick, because the bowl situation. Wait, one question from a BYU guy on Twitter who is BYU Jazz Man, so you know where he lies. His question is, will the winner play in Vegas for the title game? I would lean, if Air Force wins, I don't think so, just because of the record. Because BYU's 9-3 right now. They're obviously bigger. We know they sold out Vegas when they've been in the Mountain West. But if Aztecs win, they're 10-3. It's going to be a hard time. But here's the thing, too. I talked to the Las Vegas Bowl director. They really, 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 really want BYU, so I don't know if it matters. I would think San Diego State deserves it because they would have won 9 in a row, a 10-win season. I think they deserve it, but
– Look, all I have to do is – all I have to say this. BYU-San Diego State.
That can't happen, though.
Why can't that happen?
They replaced the Mountain West team. So it's Pac-12 versus Mountain West or BYU. That would be awesome. I would love to see that.
No, I think Vegas has it wrong. I think it would be BYU-San Diego State.
It's not. Nope. It's set up where BYU goes to either Hawaii Bowl or Las Vegas Bowl, 2015-2019, playing whoever the other side is.
I'm saying that's stupid. They're wrong. It should be San Diego.
BYU. Okay, I see. I thought you meant
that. Absolute pure hatred reasons.
Then you bet. That's not. Unfortunately, that can happen, but we'll see. But what the rules are? Who do you think deserves it more, San Diego State or BYU?
San Diego State.
So do I. 10 wins, 9 in a row. But again, we know ticket sales playing a part of this, which is stupid. But I'm going Aztecs. You're going Aztecs, but it'll be BYU probably.
Well, because BYU brings in tickets. But sorry, fans.
All right, so that's our show for tonight. Week 13 recap in the book. Season is almost over. We will have one or two shows next week. We'll decide off air about how we're going to do our preview show for the title game. But congrats to San Diego State Air Force. Chris will be 99% sure at the game with a fancy pass to get in, right?
Yep.
Work on that. So check us out, mwcconnection.com. We'll have a ton of content from guys like Dwayne and Eric for Air Force Aztec side. So, yeah, thanks for listening to us all year. Subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, eventually Google Play. And, yeah, we'll keep these things rolling, and we'll talk to you guys later this week to preview the Mountain West title game.